Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What you need to know right now on GMA3. Hurricane Ian lashing Florida with intense winds and rain. Millions under evacuation orders. The strongest September hurricane in two decades.
Plus, charged with murder for having a miscarriage. The rising concerns about women facing criminal charges after the loss of a pregnancy. And Latina women making inroads in the tech world. Part of our GMA3 series all week here celebrating Hispanic heritage.
Today we're 20,000 in 6 countries and 20 different cities.
Now from Times Square, TJ Holmes and Amy Robach with Dr. Jen Ashton and what you need to know.
You're so golden.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to GMA3. What you need to know. Always good to have you here with us on this.
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
Yes.
Halfway there. We're very happy you're here with us, and there is a lot to talk about. We're tracking many developing stories today. And, of course, our thoughts are with the people of Florida right now. They are facing dangerous Hurricane Ian. It is a monster storm, to say the least. The National Weather Service warning 12 to 16-foot storm surges. Ginger Z says that is the type of high water that can take houses. And, of course, we know that it can take lives as well. So we are watching this storm very closely. And then this sobering big number, at least 2.5 million people under mandatory and voluntary evacuation orders in Florida right now.
And of course, Dr. Ashton, we tell folks, certainly people know in the hurricane, that you got the water, you got the wind and all this. But there are other issues you need to be looking out for and other ways you need to stay safe and keep your health.
Right. And probably for the people down there where it's already making land, it's too late to evacuate. We hope that if there is still time to evacuate safely, people do that. But either way, there are some important conditions and health safety tips that people should know about. Number one, obviously you want to throw away any food that's in contact with flood or storm water, or if you lose power that's been in your refrigerator, if it hasn't been charged for a while. You never want to use portable gasoline or coal burning equipment inside the house. That is a major risk for carbon monoxide poisoning as well as fires. And then for people with any acute or chronic medical condition, that is what is really important. You have to understand that EMS responders will not go into a dangerous situation. So if you have any of these medical conditions and they surge up again during or after this hurricane, you literally will not be able to get medical attention. And if you have any condition, you want to make an emergency medical plan, whether you shelter in place or evacuate. So people on dialysis, people with asthma, women who are pregnant, you want to have a phone list, you want to have medications, you want to have contacts wherever you are going so that those medical services don't get interrupted.
That's so important. They've already suspended emergency services in many of the areas affected right now. So important to note. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Jen. We're going to turn now to ABC's Ike Ajachi, who's in Washington, D.C. with our latest headlines. Good afternoon, Ike.
Good afternoon, Amy. We're going to begin today with the warning for Americans overseas. The U.S. Embassy in Moscow issuing this alert for all Americans in Russia, saying they should leave the country immediately. That Americans with dual citizenship who stay could be prevented from leaving or dragged into military service. Discontent there rising. And that mass exodus of Russian men growing as Vladimir Putin tries to bring more of them in to fight that war. And the January 6th rioter back here at home, getting 7 years behind bars, one of the longest sentences yet. Now, the judge in the case calling it one of the most horrific attacks on law enforcement that day. Kyle Young convicted in the violent attack on D.C. police officer Michael Fanone. Fanone has since left the force. He says it cost him his career and his faith in law enforcement. And lawmakers in South Carolina have rejected a bill to ban nearly all abortions after fetal cardiac activity is detected. That bill would have made it illegal to perform an abortion or administer or distribute drugs that induce abortion. Lawmakers remain at odds over the issue. and what's being called a potential breakthrough for millions of Americans living with Alzheimer's. Two drug makers say a large treatment trial of their injected medicine on about 1,800 patients at an early stage of the disease showed a slowing in cognitive decline. Now, there are side effects. A decision on approval is expected from the FDA in January. And is there nothing Sister Jean can't do? The 103-year-old nun, known as Loyola University's biggest basketball fan, now on the baseball field, throwing out the first pitch at the Cubs game and getting a big hug from the mascot. And it's not her first time on the pitcher's mound. We saw that arm in action back when she was just 99 years old. Back to you guys in New York.
She just makes you happy when you see her. Certainly hope to see her in March this time around. Ike, good to have you as always. And folks, stay with us. A whole lot more here on GMA3, including a growing worry for women in America. Charged with murder for a miscarriage. Our Devin Dwyer is here with one woman's experience and concern about other instances after Roe v. Wade was overturned.
And then getting more Latina women in decision-making positions in the tech world, the latest in our special series on Latina leaders. GMA3 will be right back. Welcome back to GMA3. For any family, losing a pregnancy to miscarriage or stillbirth can be obviously devastating. It's not uncommon, though, when it can happen for a variety of reasons and most often through no fault of the mother.
Yeah, despite that, though, hundreds of women across the country have been investigated and prosecuted over their pregnancy losses. And now there's a growing concern the practice could intensify. ABC's Devin Dwyer, such a pleasure to have you here in studio with us with more on this. Hey there.
Hey guys, great to be with you. You know, the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe versus Wade has some pregnancy advocates sounding the alarm, worried more women could be criminally charged with murder for a miscarriage. And one woman who spent more than a year behind bars is now speaking out publicly for the first time.
Very traumatic, nightmarish experience.
It was a nightmare Chelsea Becker says no pregnant woman should endure.
I was homeless throughout my pregnancy, and I was using methamphetamine. But when the stillbirth happened, it crushed me.
It was November 2019 in the city of Hanford. Becker, then 25 years old, had a troubled childhood and struggled with drug addiction.
When you heard the charge, murder of a fetus, what did you think?
They said that I was under arrest for homicide.
Kings County District Attorney Keith Fagundes, alerted by the hospital to meth detected in Becker's stillborn baby, decided to prosecute.
The word fetus is in our murder statute, with the exception for abortion. And it had to be therapeutic abortion under a doctor's care.
Why are you the only DA in California in 30 years to bring prosecutions for stillbirths?
It's not unheard of. It was about drug abuse to a healthy, viable fetus.
The Kings County medical examiner said drug use caused the death of Becker's baby, but her legal team argued three unrelated infections were to blame and that there's no scientific evidence meth ends pregnancies. A judge dismissed the case for lack of evidence in May 2021.
And this may have been an act that I contributed to, but this does not mean that I intended for my child to die.
Since Roe versus Wade in 1973, more than 1,700 American women have been prosecuted over the death of a child during pregnancy. Adora Perez, also from Hanford and also addicted to meth during pregnancy, was prosecuted by DA Fagundes in 2018. Perez went to prison for 4 years before her 11-year sentence was overturned.
The goal was to get them clean. You know, we can't bring these dead babies back. We can try to stop their conduct from moving forward.
Using drugs in pregnancy is rarely associated with a pregnancy loss, much less causally associated with that loss. Yet it's those falsehoods upon which some of these, you know, legal decisions rest.
The decisions are a tapestry of American tragedy. Brittany Poulaw, currently serving 4 years in an Oklahoma prison after a miscarriage and admission of meth use. Christine Taylor of Iowa, charged with attempted feticide after she fell down the stairs of her home. First responders say they had reason to believe she didn't want the baby. It survived and charges were later dropped. Marsha Jones was 5 months pregnant in 2018 when she was shot in the stomach during a fight in an Alabama parking lot. But after she miscarried, a grand jury of her peers indicted Jones, not the woman who fired the shot, with manslaughter for allegedly putting her fetus in harm's way.
We expect more of these cases in a post-Dobbs world. We think that prosecutors will feel even more emboldened than they have been to police pregnancy.
Advocates for pregnant women say the Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe v. Wade is a watershed moment, clearing the way for state laws giving fetuses the same rights as people.
Those laws can transform entire criminal codes and civil codes to apply in the context of pregnancy.
And that concerns Chelsea Becker, who's raising awareness of the impact of prosecuting pregnancy as she tries to honor the memory of a baby boy she'd named Zachariah.
Some people will hear your story and say there has to be some accountability for Zachariah. What would you say to them?
At the end of the day, like, I'm the one that lives with the loss, and that can only motivate me to do better.
And Chelsea Becker now has sobriety and a steady job. She's studying public health. As for that California district attorney, Keith Fagundes, well, voters this summer, guys, chose not to give him a second term.
Devin, this story definitely gave me chills as I was listening to it, and specifically in the case you profiled. I mean, I think most people would agree drug addiction is a disease. And yet in a state like California, where abortion is legal, how do you get prosecuted and end up behind bars for a stillbirth?
It's a surprise, right, to many people in California, but it is in their murder statute. The word fetus is in the text. Lawmakers say it was never their intent for prosecutors to go after pregnant women. And now, today, legislators are trying to amend the law to make that clear.
So we're talking about one state, one prosecutor you focus on. This happening a lot in other states?
It sure is. I mean, we've seen these cases, 1,700 of them in the past 50 years. Majority of cases are in the South Central Plains. A lot of these cases are happening in states where they have fetal personhood laws on the books. 11 states have language on the text that grants the fetus the same rights as a person. And that's what has advocates so concerned now after that Supreme Court decision.
We thank you so much for your reporting. Thanks, always good to have you on the show, but good
great
to have
to be
you
with
in
you.
Studio.
Thank you. Good to
time.
See you.
All right. Thanks so much. And up next, folks, right here on GMA3, it's National Hispanic Heritage Month, of course, and we've been celebrating here.
That's right. Coming up, our look this week at Latina leaders across the country making progress in the tech world. More GMA3 when we come back.
Welcome back to GMA3, everybody. We are back now with our special series celebrating Latina leaders during this Hispanic Heritage Month. And today we spotlight the group connecting more Latina women to the tech industry. Check it out.
Many times in the life of a Latina, especially when you're young, you see very discouraging percentages and statistics. And you're like, my chances of succeeding are pretty slim. It is totally possible to get out of the bunch and build your own future.
They're amazing women, very smart, very capable, determined, hardworking, and they want to go into tech, but the opportunities aren't equally distributed.
The way Latinas in tech was born, when I found another Latina, we were like, oh my God, it's not that common to find somebody like us. We went from 2 to 8 to 50 to hundreds, and today we're 20,000 in 6 countries and 20 different cities.
It has been such a wonderful experience. There's a need to see people that look like you, to have access to people who are willing to advocate for you and invest time in you and help you.
At Latinas in Tech, we have 3 pillars. We connect, we support, and we empower.
You have this wonderful group of people that are ready and willing to help you out. And it's having amazing hermanas, you know, hermanas means sisters, that I didn't even know I had.
This is not a group to complain about our situation. It's all about highlighting what can we change together as a group, as a Latinx community. And it's not about just bringing in diversity. It's about having them own things, having them lead, having them being promoted.
We're not a marketing campaign. We're not a slogan. We are influential. We're important. We have a lot of power.
We've heard a lot of things like, oh, we don't know where the talent is. Oh, where are the women? Where are the Latinas? We're here, and we are ready and willing and able to jump in and lead.
Technology needs to be created by people of diverse backgrounds. We cannot be absent, because then technology is not serving everybody. Technology industry needs diversity, and diversity needs technology as well.
Coming up next, right here on GMA3, Dr. Jen Ashton, answering a question you have on health and wellness when it comes to beer and your body.
Also, we're going to meet the Oklahoma woman who is a trailblazer behind the wheel. Stay with us here on GMA3, folks. We're right back.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's Brad Milkey, host of ABC's daily news podcast, Start Here. And I'm honored to say Start Here, along with several ABC audio projects, are up for Webby Awards. Voting is open to the public, and we're all really excited about these awards, but this vote closes on Thursday. So please don't wait. You can go to abcaudio.com/webbies. That's abcaudio.com/webbies, W-E-B-B-Y-S, to cast your vote for Start Here, along with other ABC news shows. We really appreciate it.
Welcome back to GMA3, What You Need to Know. Dr. Jen Ashton here, and a study was conducted. We keep talking about the impact of COVID-19 long-term, yep. And there was this initial concern, people reporting that it was affecting women, saying it was affecting their menstrual cycles.
Right.
A large study was done, and they found what?
Yes, but not in a significant way and only temporarily. So let me back up, give you some big picture. I heard this actually from a lot of my patients right as the vaccine was coming out. And we reported on it on this show that there were anecdotal reports from women that there was a change or disruption in their menstrual cycle after having been vaccinated. Now, a formal study has been done, over 20,000 women in the US, Canada, and Europe, vaccinated versus unvaccinated, and they did find women self-reported a slight increase in the length of their menstrual cycle after having been vaccinated by less than one day on average. Okay, so first of all, as a gynecologist, you have to ask, is this clinically significant? Does it persist? Does it affect fertility or pregnancy? The answer is no. It's temporary, it resolved after the following cycle. Secondly, a normal menstrual cycle can have up to 1 to 3 days of variation month to month. So, and most importantly, you've heard me talk about causation versus observation. We really can't even theorize how this would affect hormones versus our immune system. It is so gray, but this is a study that's getting some attention, so we wanted to put it into the proper women's health context for people.
You said getting attention, but it's still, even if it doesn't prove that there's a significant change, it's good to have the information.
Yeah, observation is always important in medicine and science, but again, bottom line, get vaccinated. This has not been shown to be clinically significant for women's health yet.
All right, thanks, Dr. Jen. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to GMA3, What You Need to Know. Of course, all eyes on the Florida coast, that historic storm, of course. A lot of families facing the potentially devastating effects of Hurricane Ian, catastrophic storm surge possible. course, you can get updates throughout the day here on ABC News and, of course, on ABC News Live.
Yeah, Ginger Z right there in the thick of it where the storm is directly hitting. So we'll be checking in with her, of course, later in the week and wishing her the best. She knows what she's doing. She knows how to stay safe in these situations. We're going to switch gears now, though. Dr. Jen, of course, looking at questions that our viewers sent in. This one is, I'm interested in this. Can you really get a beer gut? And how do you get rid of it?
Okay. You can.
From the person who doesn't drink beer.
That's right. So, and I was going to say, you can get one from beer, you can get one from tequila, you can get one from wine. So it probably should be renamed. But in particular, when you hear this term, normally you're talking about men, for some reason, and beer. It's not specific to men, although men typically, ironically, tend to store more belly fat, visceral adipose tissue, than premenopausal women. And I guess someone thought that more men drink beer. But alcohol, you know, for anyone, male or female, any type of alcohol can lead to central weight deposition. You can't spot reduce. So again, if you're talking about fat due to alcohol intake, it's really three things. You want to cut down on your calories and make sure that you're not eating extra or drinking extra calories. You want to do a decent amount of cardio, and you want to then tone those ab muscles. It's three things. It's not just one.
I've always heard, though, so much of it has to do with the association of what you're eating when you're drinking the beer.
That's a big part of it. Yeah, behavior, and maybe if you're drinking a lot, you're not exercising a lot. Mm. But really, I mean, when you talk about increasing caloric intake and decreasing your activity, it's going to go somewhere.
That's
it's an unfortunate place.
That's why we run so much. We got a lot of
That's right.
What's your prescription for wellness today?
Okay, well, it doesn't have to do with drinking, but it has to do with eating. And signs that we may actually be chewing or masticating is the technical term, our food improperly. People who may have one of these symptoms, heartburn, digestive issues. Also, if you tend to chew less, you're swallowing more air. You could get some gas, some bloating, and also just overeating. You're eating too quickly. You know, I'm guilty of that. Most doctors and people in the media are guilty of that. So one thing to do to correct this, just be mindful of actually.
Try 20 to 30 times.
Just try for 20. I mean, there are times where I've paid attention to this myself, and I'm maybe at two or three, and then I swallow it. Not good. It's not good. So all kidding aside, you don't have to hit 20, but you want to be mindful. You want to chew your food well, savor it in your mouth before it gets going through your GI tract.
I feel like she was taking a personal shot at us with her
beer
gut and the chewing.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, you've seen this one eat.
You know that line from Shakespeare.
Oh, now who's pointing the finger?
Me thinks the lady doth protest.
You can submit your health and wellness questions right here at ABC GMA3.
All right, up next right here with us, folks. We're going to talk about women behind the wheel, blazing new trails for themselves and those who follow.
Plus, special skincare combinations to get us glowing. Some expert help is here from New Beauty. GMA3 will be right back. Welcome back now to our new series, Trailblazing Women. We are introducing you to some incredible new female leaders who are breaking barriers not only for themselves, but for future leading women.
Yes, today's trailblazer is Tiffany Guest. Yeah, she's going to go up on that wall as well one of these days. Yeah, she's a second-generation UPS driver and an Oklahoma driving champion. ABC's Alexis Christophorus with more.
For Tiffany Guest, driving a truck is more than a job. It's a family affair. Tiffany and her younger brother, Corey, grew up watching their dad, Richie, drive a truck and deliver packages for UPS in their hometown of Oklahoma City. Today, all three work at the same truck depot.
I enjoy really just being here with my family. It's kind of like I have my real family here and then I have my UPS family, and we all just grow together and just enjoy life.
At UPS, Tiffany is part of an elite group. In addition to driving the smaller package delivery trucks, she's one of a few women in Oklahoma to drive an 18-wheel tractor trailer. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, women make up just 7.9% of all truck drivers in the U.S.
The best thing about driving a truck is being out on the road on your own.
It was UPS's Earn and Learn Tuition Assistance Program that initially got Tiffany interested in working at the company.
What did you think about entering a field that is dominated by men?
I really didn't look at it like that. I like to get dressed and look pretty and stuff, but I still like to work hard. I just tell them, just watch me drive.
Why do you think there are so few women
truck drivers.
Half women don't even think to come out here and do this type of job. Like, we just need to talk to them and recruit them, get them out here.
She says lifting up her fellow female truck drivers is part of the job.
I try to help out the girls in my center or the girls that I see in the bigger trucks. Just, you know, give them encouragement. If I see them back in a trailer or something, you know, I tell them they're doing a great job because it is hard out here. But we got to show these guys that, you know, we've got it. We got to stick together.
And she feels no pressure to be anyone but her authentic self.
Whoever you are as an individual, you could put that in that truck and be just fine, I promise. Wear nails, wear makeup, wear eyelashes.
Maybe those lashes were her lucky charm at last year's annual Oklahoma Truck Competition when Tiffany took home the first place trophy.
And our first place winner in the step van, Tiffany MC Guest UPS, with a score of 328.
Her male competitors weren't surprised by her win.
You know, they already knew that I could drive, so they're just like, oh, watch her. It just makes you feel more confident herself and knowing she's one to be reckoned with.
Well, how did you feel when he came in first?
I cried.
Did it meant that much to you?
Because it was a long time coming, yeah. It was just something that I really wanted and I got it.
The state's truck competition is also a family affair. Corey came in second place that year behind his big sister.
Sadly to say, yes. Yeah, she actually beat me. That's the only time I'll let her beat me.
And her dad, with four first place trophies under his belt, says nothing meant more to him than Tiffany winning the competition.
To see your kid achieve that goal that she's always wanted, that was the best.
You get teary-eyed talking about it.
Yeah, it's emotional. She's a leader. Anything she set her mind to, you know, she can do it.
Tiffany's advice for other women looking to get behind the wheel of a truck?
I would tell her that there's a lot of money out here. Find confidence to come out here and try it, and I think they'll love it. I just want them to be inspired.
As for being called a trailblazer?
I feel like I will be eventually. I'm just getting started.
Carving out her own piece of the road with her family driving beside her. Alexis Christophorus for GMA3.
She is already a trailblazer, and our thanks to Alexis for that story.
And coming up right here, folks, on GMA3, maximizing your look with some skincare combinations from the executive team at New Beauty.
And you know him as Grey Worm on Game of Thrones. Well, now he's taking on an iconic role in the new adaptation of Interview with the Vampire. He takes us behind the scenes. GMA3 will be right back. Well, welcome back, everyone. If you find yourself looking for ways to up the ante with your skincare and beauty routine.
Daily, yes.
Yeah, constantly. TJ's like, what can I do? Well, here's your answer, TJ. We have you covered with some game-changing products.
And look what we have here. Walk us through it, these beauty duos. Senior editor-at-large at New Beauty, Sarah Eggenberger. Sarah, thank you for being here. And thank you for indulging me as we were in the commercial break here trying to figure out what a dark circle was under the eyes. We'll get
to
that.
He was trying to figure it out. Okay, yeah, we haven't clarified. It's a half.
No matter what, you always have to protect your skin. So what do you start
us off
with? That's
right. This is most important for everyone needs to know this because the sun is going to be present all four seasons. So even though we're falling into fall, we still need to use our sun protection, correct? The best way to do that is to double down because the UV rays creates free radicals and free radicals are the enemy of the skin. So always use a sunscreen. Every day, use a sunscreen. I love this La Roche-Posay sunscreen because it feels like a serum. Also has antioxidants, great, beneficial to your skin. But here's what you need to do. Apply vitamin C too, because vitamin C is an antioxidant that's going to fight against those free radical scavengers. And that's what's going to really protect your skin, keep with the health of your skin. It's also going to help to fight against those free radicals. And so your skin stays more protected. It's really going to be a skin shield and it's great for collagen production.
All right.
What's a free radical?
So
what are we talking about?
Free radicals. You have free radicals everywhere. It's the inflammation it causes, which you don't want. It causes inflammation in your body,
just
your face, everywhere. Free radicals are terrible.
Bueno.
All over free radicals.
Right. So when I came over here, I told you your eyes are stunning and you said it's all the mascara, but it's not. But you do say you don't have to splurge when it comes to getting the right mascara.
Absolutely, because here's a challenge, is to find an effective but yet affordable mascara can be really tricky. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to use a primer prior to your mascara. So you can take any drugstore mascara and it'll be indistinguishable to high-end mascara. So use your primer. This is Grande. This is an incredible primer because it has peptides, it has fibers. Build up those lashes and then follow that with your Essence Lash Mascara. And you get the buildable volume. It's going to create this great look. can see it here. But I also have fall suits on, so not completely true. But you get the idea.
Okay. Beautiful and affordable. We like
that. Yeah, exactly.
And the table I've been waiting for. The
here,
dark circles.
We're going to answer your question.
All right.
If you have experienced dark circles, you would know the struggle is real. All they right. are just a half moon, though, right? Not the full circle, as TJ pointed out so correctly to us all. So here's what you need to do. Here is the trick. You want to apply a peach color where you have the darkness. So that's going to help to neutralize, offset the color, tone it down. Okay, it's like a little bit of a color therapy going on here. Okay. So use that peach color right where you have any of that darkness, then take a color that's closer to your skin tone, that's like a second skin, and apply that on the outer areas. You can see I'm doing this here, and then just dab it all in, and then you'll have a concealed under eye. It'll get rid of those dark circles, and it conceals that imperfection.
How long does it last?
Up to both of these, this is why I love the Charlotte Tilbury and also the Hourglass, it lasts up to 16 hours. So all day coverage.
All right, that's
amazing
great.
Your skin. Yeah, Charlotte Tilbury is going to give you great coverage. Same with Hourglass. They both are incredible concealers.
All right, now that our skin and our eyelashes look great, the hair cannot be forgotten. This is about everyone wants more volume and texture. So what
that's
do you
right.
suggest?
So here's the thing. When we use these texturizing products, they oftentimes dry out our hair, yeah. right? And so it doesn't look so great. So here's how you balance that out. You're going to take Moroccan oil, put this down at the ends of your hair. It's going to give you that shine. It's going to protect your hair. It smells great.
It smells
TJ,
so
smell
good.
This product.
I love the
you
way it
might
smells.
Like the way it smells.
Here's the thing, though. I use this on my daughter's hair.
It smells so good.
Yes.
Yes, it helps to fight frizz.
Yep.
It's
yes.
a great product. And then you can Oops. Still use
Sorry.
And then you can still use your Orbe Dry Texture Spray. And then you just section off your hair, spray it where you need the volume. And then you have the buildable, you have the texture, you have the grit, volume, and shine.
And the shine. Volume and shine. Two things that are very yeah. hard to see together, but this is how you do it. All right, Sarah Eggenberger, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And you for joining us today, making us all look a little bit better this fall.
Answering all your beauty questions.
Thank you so much. And up next, folks, when we come back, first it was Game of Thrones, and now a new take on a vampire classic.
Jacob Alexander joins us next with the new adaptation of the Anne Rice bestseller, Interview with the Vampire. We are back in just a moment. Welcome back. It's a brand new television adaptation of course, I think this is your favorite, right? The iconic novel?
I love vampire stories. I absolutely love it. Our next guest here to tell us all about it. You know him from his hit role, Great Worm, in the Emmy Award-winning series Game of Thrones. Now, the vampire himself is in the building. Everybody, Jacob Anderson is here with us. Wait, that's how we greet you being in studio for the first time, but that's how we should greet you. You have not, you love this town, but you haven't been to New York since the pandemic. It's been a while.
I haven't been
there
for a
minute. Back?
I love New York. Yeah. New York is like, it reminds me of London. It's kind of, I feel like there's something that feels really like community when everybody's kind of ignoring each other. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I feel at home when everybody's in very close proximity, but like not looking at each other.
We suffer together, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's a great answer. That's perfectly descriptive of New
accurate.
York, right?
So we have to ask you about the movie because incredible wardrobe, incredible makeup, the stylists involved are just lights out.
Yeah.
What was it like for you having that transformation? And I mean, specifically the fangs. I need to hear about the fangs.
The fangs were amazing. I didn't ever want to take them out. I was like, this is how you feel like a vampire, right? Oh. As you have fangs, it's so iconic. I actually, maybe I shouldn't be admitting this on air, but I broke a set because I didn't take them out. Like, I just kept them in for the whole day.
They're comfortable.
Yeah, they kind of are. You get used to it.
I would not think they're comfortable at all.
Maybe they're just empowering.
Exactly. Exactly.
Did you go in public, like go to dinner with Mel? Did you wear them around town?
No, I was at work.
Okay.
I was at work. But like, you know, I just got a little bit too excited. and so they like snapped at the back.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, and the costuming is beautiful in the show, and just got to wear these beautiful suits every day, feeling like a million bucks. It's incredible. It's been amazing. We do have quite heavy contact lenses on, though, which makes everything kind of like a dream.
Wow.
Which helps because the show is a memory.
Yeah, it's a memory. Yeah. And you live in London. You're saying you love New York, but you were filming down in New Orleans, right?
We were.
What was that like? Had you been there before? What did you think of this city and the setting?
I'd never been there before, but when the plane started to touch down, I was like, I just felt very at home, like instantly. And it kind of, New York reminds me of London, whereas New Orleans kind of reminds me of the town that I grew up in, Bristol. And it's like a very arty place. It's like a really amazing, like thriving black community and artistic community, creative community. And yeah, it's just like, there's just a vibe there. Oh, yeah. It's quite hard to describe New Orleans.
We know.
It's just good, yeah, it's just good energy. It's just, yeah. And it's also such an important part of Amrice's writing and her stories and the way that she describes the place. It's gothic, but it's also full of warmth. Yeah.
It's a great place, New Orleans, to walk around in a great wardrobe and some contacts and some things that, you know, blend right in, man.
Yeah, exactly. People didn't blink. Even in like period costume walking down the street, people would just be like, hey, what's up?
Look, people familiar with the books, and of course the movie was so popular when it first came out. But this adaptation you all have, I mean, do you take some liberties? How close and how true does it stay to that original work?
I like to think that we don't. It's less that we take any liberties. It's just that there are things in the interpretation that kind of speak to now as well. But we're all huge fans of Anne Rice. We respect her work, we respect her writing, and the feelings are all the same. There's like a huge depth of feeling to these characters. And every day we've just referred back to the books. We thought about who these characters are at their core. That was the most important thing.
Well, I have to ask you, because I heard you obviously been a part of several big franchises, Game of Thrones, to just drop one in the bucket there. Bond, James Bond. Did you have any interest? I heard you do stunt work. You're ready to go. You're British. You got everything working for you. What do you think?
So I feel like with James Bond, just needs a little bit of updating. If they were gonna make a few edits, then yeah, why not? It'd be fun.
Wait, what edit would there need to be for you?
I think he could probably treat women better.
Oh,
I think. Nice. I think he could maybe like. Be a little bit. James Bond can't really be a pacifist as such, can he?
A peacemaker.
Yeah, I've got my like Louis brain. I'm like, I don't want to do it.
I love you, but you're not going to get that gig.
No, no. And that's okay. That's okay. Fine. Oh, man. I'm way too much of a dork to be James Bond. Oh, I just need to be. Let's be real.
Needs to be updated, like you said. Yeah, you can be updated.
I like that. You got some cheers over here for that one.
Thank you.
All right, Jacob Anderson. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Bob.
Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire premieres on this Sunday on AMC. Welcome back to New York, by the way.
It's so great to have you here in studio, man. Folks, that's what you need to know for this Wednesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. I'm TJ Holmes.
And I'm Amy Robach. For Dr. Jen Ashton and all of us here at ABC News, have a wonderful Wednesday.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text Podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So, if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text Podcast, now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.